Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Second Chance Radio Show. I'm your host, Dr. Diane Dyke. Second Chance with Saving Grace and the Cryoglobulinemia Vasculitis Organization present positive and encouraging radio. Live a life of impact, purpose, and victory. We will show you how. Second Chance with Saving Grace is a 501c3 nonprofit that helps hurting people and animals. Second Chance offers a safe place to use your gifts and talents to transform lives. You can make a difference. Volunteer. Learn more at dianedyke.org. That's D-I-A-N-E, D as in dog, I-K-E.org. Contact us today. And that's right. We do look forward to hearing from you. You know, we're always about doing good in the world, trying to make, people's lives better and improving in any way that we can. It's been a while since I've been with you. We've been busy bees. We've adopted 6 children so far. And up here in the mountains of Colorado, we're about 45 minutes west of Vail. It is a cold and wintry day here today. And you may be hearing some beeps and sounds during our call, and that is all of you in the chat room and on Facebook sending messages and questions to our guest today. And we're so thankful to hear from you, and we look forward to trying to getting to all of your questions the best that we can. But again, just visit us on our website at any time. We're here for you. You have suggestions for the radio show. We're always happy to give a voice, whether it's to New York Times bestsellers or to everyday moms and dads that are making a difference in the world. But today we have a really special guest, and I'm so excited to share a beautiful book that he has written called The Radical Book for Kids, and it's by Champ Thornton. Champ has been the associate pastor of Ogletown Baptist Church in Newark, Delaware, since 2012. Previously, he pastored at Grace Bible Church in South Carolina, and he served as the director for SOMA, a ministry training school in Ohio. Champ has a deep passion for stirring curiosity and wonder for Christ and God's Word in the hearts of children, which has led him to write several children's books, including his latest book, which is called The Radical Book for Kids. He lives in Delaware with his wife, Robin, and their 3 children, and I invite you to connect with Champ. He has a website, champthornton.com, and he's also on Facebook, champ.thornton.7, and he also has Twitter, and I'm sure you can find all of that through his website, but I am just so excited to have him today. This book is gorgeous, and with our 6 children and the fact that we do devotions daily, we're always looking for new material to invigorate their minds, to get them hungry and excited about the Lord, about learning more about him, about memorizing his word, and I tell you what, Champ's book, it covers it all. So welcome to the show, Champ. So thankful to have you today.
Great, Diane. It's wonderful to be with you today. Thank you for having me on.
You are so welcome. Did I say everything right? Did I get all your details covered properly today?
It was perfect.
Awesome, awesome. Well, how's the weather where you are today?
It's getting pretty chilly, I'll tell you. It's starting to feel like winter, which it's one of my favorite times of year, so I don't mind, but it's starting to get cold.
I suppose so. In Delaware, it can be really, really, really cold. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to take time to be with us today and talk about your new book. Tell us, what makes this book so radical? It's an interesting title, so I'm really excited to hear more about what inspired you to write the book and what makes the book radical.
So it's called The Radical Book for Kids. And the word radical, it's a play on words. So the word radical, it's been hijacked today. It's a word of extremism, right? But originally, the Latin root of the word radical means roots, like roots on a tree. And you think about, like, you know, radical numbers and square roots and all that in math. And, you know, it's beyond me at the moment. It's too many years since college. But I want this book to be a way for kids ages 8 and up to explore the roots of their faith. And so we go into the source of it all, God's Word. What is God's Word? How do we read it? Why can we trust it? What's it all about? And so the book is, there are 67 mini chapters in this book, pages, you know, every chapter is maybe 2 to 5 pages long. Some of the chapters cover scripture about what about the Bible. And then there are other chapters that talk about the roots of our faith related to theology and what the church has believed about the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and what we've read for hundreds and hundreds of years. So those kind of roots not only help kids grow in depth, but also that makes for strong trees as well. So we want kids to be strong. And so we talk about how we live as Christians. We talk about how men and women have lived as Christians throughout church history. So there's little mini biographies throughout the book. And we want kids to have radical depth and radical strength. And then, you know, we want it to be fun. I mean, it's for kids. And so we want it to engage them in an informative and interesting way. So it's radical depth and strength and fun. And so that's kind of the idea of radical. It's a bit of a pun on the word radical, but that's the aim.
I love it. Well, and I haven't seen anything like it. My kids are going to just eat this up, and I'm so excited. I recommend everyone get this as a Christmas present for your kids. There's nothing more we can do better than to invest in their faith and help them stay strong and courageous, getting a firm foundation. And I love the picture of roots, like, you know, the family roots, the foundation, the tree, the whole thing. It just really goes together for exactly what we're looking for. And I'm just so thankful that you created such a gorgeous, colorful. I mean, I just love touching the pages. There's so much. I mean, you can't stop looking at it. There's so many beautiful things. You've got spaceships in there and space and how the brain works and how to memorize anything. You've got topics like Martin Luther, which we were just talking about something special coming up about Martin Luther. Can you share that with the gang?
So in October of 1517, if history is accurate date-wise, that is when Martin Luther, the Roman Catholic monk in Germany, nailed 95 theses to the church door in the German city of Wittenberg. And so that has generally been agreed upon as the start of the Protestant Reformation. And so this, we are coming upon the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Reformation in Europe. And so much good has been accomplished through people going back to what does the Bible say? And that is the real genius of the Reformation. And it's the heartbeat of the church.
That's wonderful. I want to kind of go to that heartbeat with more specific topics that you explored in the book in just a moment. But I was just wondering, what was your inspiration for writing the book? I know you have 3 children. I'm not sure what their ages are, and we'd love to hear about that. But what was your inspiration for this book?
So when you go to a bookstore or you go online and you look at books, you can find, if you search for it, you can find lots of books that are, you know, something like 100 kids that every boy 100 things that every boy ought to know or know how to do, or 100 things that every girl ought to know or know how to do. And all those different books are secular. They're not written from a Christian perspective, from a Christian worldview at all. And I thought, oh, boy, that would be great. I would love to have a book that I could hand off to my own kids to say, this is what, it's not everything, doesn't claim to be exhaustive, but it's a starter kit, an explorer's guide to the Bible and Christian living and just the world that God has made and the word that he has written. And so that was the impetus for that. And really it all goes back in some ways to when I was 29, I was diagnosed with a genetic blood disorder that inclines me toward clotting. And I really haven't had a scare since I was about 29. But, you know, when you're 29 and you think you can conquer the world and you're invincible, then something like that kind of pulls you up short and reminds you that you're time on earth ultimately is limited, and that reminder has fueled me to think, what can I do to make sure that I have something to pass along to my kids while I'm here? I don't plan on going anywhere anytime soon, but I want to be sure and leave behind something that is shaping for the next generation, especially for my own family.
Wow. Well, you're right, because it is 100% sure on one thing, that we will all pass on, and we want to leave a good legacy. We want to make good use of the time we have here, and we want to overcome those challenges as they continually come at us, and the blood disorder at 29 is a tough one. I can truly appreciate that, having been diagnosed with cryoglobulinemia at about the age of 23, not expected to live, and almost having my legs amputated. So I really can appreciate that. Urgency that you can feel when you've been diagnosed with something, and the loss of control it can make you feel like. But there are things you can control, and that is what you're going to do with your time, how you're going to live your life, and what kind of impact, you know, purpose and victory you'll live with. So good for you, buddy. That's awesome. Good for you. I'm wondering, in your radical book for kids, you know, there's so many beautiful pages, so much, it's full of impact and purpose and information. There's so many specific topics that you've covered in such a beautiful and amazing and intriguing way. I was wondering, what are some of your favorites? As I looked through the book, you know, Parents Aren't Perfect was a great one, and then Breaking Down the Lord's
That's
Prayer.
That's my kid's favorite,
Is it really? Oh, wow. Well, tell us some of your favorites and your kids' favorites. I would love to kind of just crack the door a little bit more and help people understand the richness that this book holds.
So, like I said, there are about 67 little mini chapters, and you could group all those chapters into, I don't know, 6 to 8 different big buckets, categories. So there's chapters that are about the Bible. So, for example, different blocks or genres in Scripture, like how we read the Bible. So there are chapters on the law, because God's Word sets out law and rules. Then there are lots of history books in the Bible, and then there's poetry books, and then there's books called the wisdom literature, and then there's the works of the prophets, and then there's the Gospels, and then there's letters in the New Testament. So lots of chapters on the Bible itself. Then there are chapters on theology, what we believe about God. It's one thing to say, I believe the Bible. It's a little different question to say, well, what do you believe about the Bible? And so there are, we try to answer some questions like that, give a taste of what we call theology or doctrine, written in a very practical, age-appropriate, life-changing kind of way. Then there are chapters on how we live as Christians. What do you do when you get angry? How do you work with that? What do you do when bad things happen? What do you do when you're afraid? Then there's more like Christian living, practical living, like everyday life kind of stuff, like how do I make good decisions, or how do I be a good friend? Things along those lines. What about manners? How do you keep your room clean? I'm sure that's a favorite. That's probably not my kid's favorite. then there are chapters that are little mini biographies. There are about a dozen little vignettes of men and women in the last couple thousand years of church history to see like how they lived their lives for Jesus and how Jesus changed their lives and sustained them. There, some of them are famous, and then there's some that are not so famous, and that's good because, you know, we can put up all the big men, big women of history. We hold them up on pedestals, but they're in a different category, we might think. But then here are normal people that maybe we've never heard of, but they live for Jesus too, and we can associate with both. Then there's just fun activities and games along the way. So there's, for example, the Bible has lots of mentions of games, fun and games, activities in the Bible. So there's a chapter that deals with that. And it also provides a board game that's over 3,000 years old. It would have been popular back in the time of Abraham in the Bible, all throughout the Middle East. Now, we don't have instructions about how it's played, no directions, but we do have game boards. And so we can surmise from the way the board is designed how it might have been played. And so we put some of those directions in the book and a copy in the book that kids can copy out and play the game for themselves. That's 3,000 years old. So we want to introduce them to the life and times of the Bible in addition to all these things, but do it in a way that's fun and engaging.
Oh, that is wonderful. What's the best way someone can get this book today?
You can order it on Amazon.com. You can go to the publisher's website, which is New Growth Press, newgrowthpress.com. You can order it there. You can find links to both those places on my website, champthornton.com. Pretty much if you Google it, you can find it.
Oh, that's terrific. You know, it's so vibrantly illustrated, and it is full of those charts and visual aids. Can you describe more about the format, and would my kids be able to go through this book on their own, or is it just best for parents and children to read it together?
So the format is, the book is not really sequential. It's broadly sequential, like before we get into the nitty-gritty of, let's say, the poetry of the Bible. Way before that, there's a small little chapter on what's the whole Bible in one sentence. Let's get the big picture first, kind of some orientation perspective, and then we get into the details. So there is some sequence, but the book is kind of randomly organized. So chapter one might be on the big picture of the Bible, and a few chapters later, why you can trust the Bible, and then another chapter, how you can clean your room, and then another chapter on what to do when you're angry. And so it's a little bit random, and that's kind of the fun. You never know what you're going to get to next. So that means if you're a kid, let's say ages 8 approximately and up through teenage years, you could sit down and read this book on your own. Sit down on a cold, wintry day like today and get a blanket on the couch and read a chapter, or maybe read chapter 1, then chapter 2, or maybe flip around and say, oh, that looks interesting, and you can dive right into chapter 27 right out of the blue. So whatever interests you, you can hop and skip around. And there's an index in the back that shows, you know, all the chapters are grouped by kind. So all the chapters about the Bible are there. There's another section that shows, you know, here's all the fun and games sections, things like that. So you can navigate in numbers of ways. But I'm also finding that as families are getting copies of this book, not only are kids ages 8 and up sitting down to read it, but their parents are reading it too. They're like, I like this. I'm going to get one for me and one for my kids too. But then parents are also sitting down and using this to read to their families for devotions. They'll pick a chapter, they'll read through the whole thing. They're short enough to do that. And they're reading it to kids that are younger, ages 4 and 5 and younger. So it's written in a way that's accessible to all those ages.
Oh, that's fabulous. Well, it's really going to fit into our family because we do family devotions, and we try to do a weekly Bible study, and I actually have the kids lead it. So I can just see them picking this up and picking their favorite chapter and sharing a message from your book with the family of what it meant to them, what they learned, and then all of us gleaning it together. So I'm really excited about the family time it's going to give us. But also on the weekends, and as a high recommendation to families, you know, it's tough. Sometimes your kids are waking up early on a Saturday, you want them to sleep in. Give them something they can be doing, which is taking some time to read the book, write a little book report about it. My kids make a tithing list, things they plan on doing with tithing, and things they can do for each other, a thankful list. This can tie right into that. So give your kids some construction of what they can do on the weekends, and I think this book is going to tie right in. It works great for our family of 6, and I'm so excited to now include this beautiful book. You know, Champ, do you think kids need to have a church background to get the most out of the book, or can it also serve as a great introduction to the Bible and to Jesus?
So the book is packed with information, but we want to write it in such a way that it's accessible. So we did not assume any prior knowledge of the Bible or Christianity, so it's easy to kind of use Christian lingo, church ease, and we tried to avoid that wherever we could. And if we need to use a church word or a theology word, we explain it, and then sometimes if the word is long enough, we'll even provide the pronunciation for it as well. So no prior knowledge is assumed. And then beyond that, we wanted to have chapters written in such a way that reach out to every kind of learning style. So there's chapters that resonate with those that are interested in science or language or history or mathematics, linear thinkers, narrative thinkers, different ways of processing, those that are more tactile in their learning style. So we wanted to provide all sorts of just inroads and opportunities for people to engage with this book.
Oh, you did a great job. I'm learning things I didn't know about as well, and I can't wait to share it. It's hard to wait till Christmas. I didn't really want to wait till then to share this beautiful book, but it's going to give us something to look forward to. You know, we have about 10 minutes left, and I wondered, what was the toughest theological topic that you tried to explain? And then what are some of the fun hands-on activities that you mentioned earlier? Can you be a little more specific on a couple of those? That would just be really helpful.
Yeah, so there's numbers of topics in here that are somewhat challenging, but we try to break it down in a way that is easy to understand. So, for example, there is a chapter on what theologians call union with Christ, and that is a simple phrase, but it points to a reality that is big and profound and complicated, and that is that all those who are followers of Jesus are united to Jesus. They belong to him, so that what's true of Jesus is also true of all those who belong to him. And so scholars and theologians have written on this topic volumes. It is a in-depth, complicated, deep piece of doctrine. It's a deep reality. But it's also very important because that just means that God deals with his children not on the basis of their performance, not on the basis of their behavior, but on the basis of Christ's behavior, because we're united to him. He treats us like he treats his son. So it's not only technical and complicated, but it's incredibly life-changing when we think about how God views us, his children. Amazing. So I wanted to write about that because I want my kids to know this. It's changed my life, and I want it to change theirs. So the way we introduce this topic is by talking about knots, like tying knots in a rope. And there are some knots you just can't untie. And so we tell the legendary story of Alexander the Great, who was trying to untie what's known as the Gordian knot. And, of course, he couldn't untie it. It's an untieable knot, and so he found a way around that. But it introduces the topic of knots you cannot untie. And so we're all born tied to Adam, the first human, and because of his sin, we are all united to his sin and his condemnation. But then those who have put their faith in Christ, our Savior, through the good news, the gospel, we're now united to the second Adam. We're united to Jesus. And so these are knots that cannot be untied, but that's because God has tied us together with Christ. And so even in the sidebar, we kind of have some fun along the way. Here's a hands-on activity of learning to tie knots. So there's some illustrations and directions and explanation about how you tie like a square knot or a half-hitch knot or different kinds of knots. So that's just one. I think it's a 3-page chapter. It's really short. There's illustrations, but it also communicates wonderful truth from God's word, but in a way that's engaging.
Oh, yeah, and you did a great job with that. It's so colorful, too. And I wanted to thank you for the practical advice, you know, such as how to clean your room and what to do when you're angry. I mean, the kids we have, you know, came from foster care, and they have a lot of anger in them. And you know, it's important to know how to process those things and to have all the guidance that they can get to do that. You know, how do those chapters fit in with the idea, you know, of the book as a whole? Did you have a philosophy on that?
Right. So the underlying premise in the whole book is that it actually reflects the way my wife and I want to raise our own kids. Okay. And that is, by the time they leave the house, we want our kids, with God's help, to be living in reality. All right. Now that sounds really simple, but that's what I need to manage my day to day. Okay. I need simple. And I want my kids to be synced up with reality. So there's the reality when they're young that you don't play around the hot stove. That's just reality because you could get hurt. Or we don't play on the stairs when they're little. Why? Because they could get hurt. These are just realities that we help them to live in light of. And as they get older, we're also introducing another reality. There's a God, and this God has spoken in his word. This God has sent his son to die for our sin, and we are all sinners. And we, all of us, need to be rescued from our own way. So we want, this is God's world. He designed the world to work a certain way. He not only does that apply to, like, you know, kids playing on the stairs, but it applies to gossip. And the God has said, you know, if you gossip, it tends to come back and boomerang back against you. If you live a wild life, you're going to pay the price. So we want our kids to live not against the grain of the world God has made, but with the grain, okay? And he's told us what that is in his word. And so we want to be not just word Christians, but also world Christians, where we understand how God made the world to work. So Christianity ought to be, if we're understanding it rightly, the most humane, the most reasonable, the most gracious of all worldviews that are out there. It's the best explanation and the best option to explain the world that is. And so this book tries to unpack different ways that that is true. So we see God in this part of creation. We can see that there's a creator because of there's order in the world, because there's beauty in the world, because of all these different evidences for God. We need to enjoy the good things God has made because he made them, and he made them enjoyable. He made them for us. And so we enjoy how to make your own catapult, how to make pottery, how to make a sundial in this book, how to make some flatbread. There's just all sorts of ways to engage with the good world God has made, how to recognize constellations in the night sky, how to, like I mentioned before, how to be a good friend or how to clean your room. So we want to engage God's word. We also want to engage God's world. And what's really true here is God is not boring. All the things in the world that we enjoy, he made them. They came out of his mind. And so when we want to communicate about God and the word he's written and the world he's made, if we do it in a boring way, we're really misrepresenting him. And so that's one reason I'm thrilled with how they designed the book and how the design team came up with all the visual ways of laying out the truths and realities in this book, because it's engaging, because that's the way our God is. He's not boring. He's engaging. And so we want to put that right in front of young minds.
And you did. You did it in a beautiful way. I want to encourage you all to go to CHAMP's website. That's CHAMPTHORNTON.com. Go to his website, get connected, learn more about what he's got going on and new books he may have coming out in his previous books. Get connected with him on Facebook and Twitter. You don't want to miss anything. He's going to help you learn how to be in a more active role in your children's spiritual growth. And in areas you may be struggling, he's going to have the answers for you. And this book is going to encourage you in the ways that you can do that. And Champ, we have about 3 minutes with our live listeners, and there's still several more questions we wanted to get to. So we're going to try to reach those questions to you. And if we lose our live listeners, don't worry. The full message will be available to listen to at any time by clicking the link that you found the radio show through. You can also search Dr. Diane Dyke and Champ Thornton, and you will also find us on our radio show today. So don't miss out. Be sure to share this with friends and family, especially with Christmas coming up. This will be a great gift, but for birthdays or any other time, or just as a loving gift at any time. So, Champ, one of the things that my kids are going to find exciting, right now we have 3 boys and 3 girls that we've adopted, and they're going to be so excited to listen to your show and to know Mom got to meet you. But I wondered if you have a message for them, for the children and families that will read your book, and especially for my 3 kids who've come through foster care, who've had horrendous things happen to them. They've had great extreme losses. They wonder if God really does care about them, if he ever heard them, if he knows the tears they cry and the internal heartache that they have. What would you like to say to those listening from your background, through the message of your book, wherever it is that you feel God would want to speak through you to them?
So I want to take more time than I have, but if I had to compress something, I would say, first of all, understand that your parents aren't perfect. No one who stands in that role as parent is going to be perfect. They need Jesus, and they need forgiveness for their sins, just like you do. And the reason it hurts so much when parents disappoint us is because all parents are an echo of the original parents, and that is God the Father. And we all have wired in us an inclination and a desire to be loved in a way that only he can love us. And so we should let that hunger drive us to the real satisfaction for that, for the true Father, and that's our Lord. And then beyond that, I would say, you know, there is pain in this world. There is suffering. And there's not an easy, simple explanation for it. However, what we do know is that our God did not stay at arm's length. He came down himself and impersonally embraced the suffering of this world, the injustice of this world, the evil of this world, and he took it on himself for us. So we may not have an airtight explanation, as someone has said, but we do have an airtight Savior. He is doesn't give us all the information we need, but he does give us enough to comfort our hearts.
That is very profound and true. I really want to encourage you all to get this book. Stay in touch with Champ. And, you know, Champ, this book, it's important for us to stay in touch with our Maker through his Bible. But a book like yours, it can provide hope and help to families who are, you know, parents are struggling these days. Our kids are inundated with advertisements for commercialism, for getting them off track, for crazy things that are going on in this world. We don't need to make a list of that. I'm sure we are all well aware of. Do you have any advice for parents who want to make spiritual development part of their family culture but are struggling to know where to start and how they can maybe have a more active role in their children's spiritual growth? And then we will finish the show, and they were going to have to connect with you to learn more.
Yeah, exactly. So as with any area in life where we realize we're not quite measuring up to what God expects and wants from us, we repent. That's what we do in every situation. So when we realize we've not been leading our families like God would want, then we ask him to forgive us and ask for his help. And we may want to say the same thing to our kids. Hey, you know, Dad's not been setting the tone in the family, leading us like we need to. Would you forgive me? And would you pray for me? I really need the Lord's help to do this. So that kind of humility is going to set the tone and going to provide an opportunity to now begin to do that more fully. And then set the bar low. Like, don't think I'm going to sit down with my family and have time in the Bible and prayer 7 days a week for about an hour at a time. How about two, maybe three times a week for 5 minutes? And then you may just want to open the book of Psalms in God's Word and read it, and then make a few comments, perhaps ask questions, read it again, and pray. And, you know, you might start with Psalm 1 or Psalm 23 or Psalm 100, and you might find that even with kids who can't read yet, within a few weeks of doing that, everyone in your family is going to have that portion of God's Word committed to memory. And then, you know, then you can recite it together while you're on the way to the store, on the way to school, and it provides a great opportunity to really immerse our hearts and our families in God's Word.
Wow. Well, that's really the best gift of all, isn't it? The love of Jesus that we share with each other that gives us the hope for our future and our eternal home, something to look forward to. So I thank you so much, Champ. It has been such a pleasure to get to know you and to learn about your book and learn about your life. And it's just amazing. So I'm here for you, Champ. If there's any time we can do anything to help or serve you, we would love to have you back on the show again. You keep our information and stay in touch. We would love to meet up with you as we travel across the country sometime. And I hope that everyone will go to your website, champthornton.com, and stay connected with you. You have been a true inspiration and a gift during this holiday season for us. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I pray that people will make this book a gift no matter what time of year it is. The Radical Book for Kids by Champ Thornton. Champ, is there anything we missed that you wanted to share before we say goodbye?
I think we've really covered it, but, you know, there's so much information in the book. I hope it not only fills minds and inspires hearts, but that it creates curiosity to learn more. So when my family and I, we go shopping at, like, these big discount wholesale clubs, the owners put out samples, and it's not just because they're nice people, but it's because they want the adults to buy the real thing. And that's what I hope. I hope this book is a buffet of samples that kids, as they get older, will remember and want to come back to learn more and grow more, and that they'll become lifelong learners.
Well, I can attest that this book is beautiful, full of color, and it's rich in intrigue and adventure. So I do pray that, kids, if you're listening, be sure to ask your parents for this wonderful gift. It will bless you for many, many days and years to come, and it could possibly change your world forever for the good. And so, again, to my kids that will be listening, you got to hear Champ, and he is now your friend, and he is encouraging you to read his book and learn more and grow and to grow in that forgiveness and healing and all the things that we need that only God can provide. So again, Champ, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I do pray God's blessings upon you and that you can stay strong and courageous and continue to do mighty things for him, overcoming your blood disorder and any other challenges that running a church family can entail. It's a big commitment. It's a heavy weight, I'm sure, on your shoulders at times. And I know that you would probably really appreciate our listeners keeping you in prayer.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Diane. It's been great to be with you today.
Awesome. Well, God bless you, and you stay strong and courageous. And to all our listeners, remember, we're always here for you. You can go to our website, find hope and encouragement, and listen to the radio program where you're always going to get educated, enriched, and encouraged to live that life of impact, purpose, and victory. God bless you now, and we'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for our Global Awareness Dr. Diane Dyke Radio Show. We know our expert guests will continue to inspire, enrich, encourage, and educate you on topics important for your health and wellness today. Please keep in touch by clicking on the follow button on this radio program, our social site pages, and our Facebook pages. We care about you. No matter what you are growing or going through, there is help and hope. Don't give up. Stay strong and courageous, because we're counting on you. Visit DianeDike.org, that's D-I-A-N-E-D as in dog, I-K-E.org to learn more and become a virtual volunteer from anywhere in the world to help hurting people and animals. Thank you for your donations and for caring and sharing. This broadcast is available anywhere, anytime. Let's keep unity in our community. We are better together. Have a great day. We'll be with you soon for more positive and encouraging programs. Bye-bye for now.